Another Tuesday. Welcome, everybody. I'm getting to the point where I am enjoying and can't wait for Tuesdays to come around. And this is, again, no exception. You know, over the many weeks, and I think it's 16 or 17, we've been having some really incredible discussions about genealogy and spirituality. And today's going to be a fun afternoon, morning, wherever you are. And I'm going to give out the toll-free number because we are going to be taking calls. Last time Althea was my guest, we had a lot of calls, and unfortunately we weren't able to take them all. But the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. I'm going to repeat it, 888-815-9756. As a professional genealogist, about a month or two ago, I hung out my shingle again and have been doing and working many, many different cases, and I've been pretty astounded at the types of cases that have been coming in. And it was really interesting in the last 2 weeks, which is why I asked Althea to join me again, is I had two cases come in within a week's period of time where the individuals were dealing with a situation where both their mothers had committed suicide. And not only that, just to add a little fuel to the fire, there seemed to be some mysterious deaths concerning and surrounding older siblings of both of these individuals. And in talking to them when we first did our initial consult, you know, the first individual asked me first, he says, "Are you a genealogist or a healer?" And of course I had to say, "No, I am a genealogist." And second, client, when we talked a little bit about it, her comments to me were, "I am obsessed." She says, "I don't know what got into me, but all of a sudden I am obsessed to find out more about my mother." And, you know, when you think about it, there's a reason. And one of the things that we want to talk about today is, you know, why do we seek out our ancestors? And I think there are some compelling cases, as these two probably are. But, you know, all of us have some story in our background that kind of has us, and I don't want to say the word possessed, but, you know, sticks with us most of our lives. And it may be a story that surrounds one of our parents or one of our ancestors. And for some reason, we carry some of this stuff with us into our lives, and we don't really understand where it comes from. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, because we're going to play around with it today as well, is during, while working on some of these cases, I've been, you know, using, obviously, traditional genealogical practices, but I've also begun to move away and include some non-traditional modes, and I'm actually becoming amazed and a little astounded at some of the clues that I'm able to receive that have really been very dynamic in helping connect people. So today we've got Althea Gray, and again, she's a world-renowned healer and lecturer. And one of the things that connected me with Althea was the fact that she has been very involved in lineage clearing. And I think that when we connect our ancestors to our own spirit, that's really what we're doing. So Althea, welcome again.
Well, thank you for having me, Susan. I'm happy to be here.
So, what is it about us and the obsession some of us get into with our passion to find out more about our ancestors?
Well, there's one basic reason, and then there's, of course, a lot of things going on our Earth, our planet Earth right now that are compelling people to tap into resources within themselves that they feel might be lost or finding really a true identity. And one of the you mentioned a client who was compelled to find out something about their ancestry, and more importantly, it was about some specific situation in their life that they wanted to resolve. And I find that people, we forget that we're ancient beings, and we carry our stories, our ancestors' stories, in our bones and in our cellular memory. And some of us may be able to track our ancestry back 200 years, but be sure that we are far more ancient than that. And we do carry instincts, desires, attitudes through in our cellular memory. And I'll just give some extremes of situations that people feel compelled to resolve.
Sure.
And that is one of suicide, for example, in a family. And you will find, and at least in my work, that there's been someone down the family lineage, usually if it's a male, it's on the male side or the female side, and you will find someone else has done that. And that there's a compulsion for that to continue in the lineage until someone clears it out of the cellular memory, or if that situation somehow gets resolved. And in my experience, is the resolution usually is a clearing out of the cellular memory. I had one client who had suicide, for example, on both sides of her family.
Oh my goodness.
And she worked very hard all of her life not to repeat history. And the stories were in her cellular memory from both sides of her family. And she became very interested in yoga and kriyas, and she basically did this most of her life. And then we did some work together, and eventually now she's more at peace. You know, those stories and those songs that keep ringing in her bones and that were provoking certain kinds of desires within her, has finally found peace. And I find that even in a family, for example, rape, you will find that it repeats. In a family lineage, you'll look back and it happened to so-and-so, it happened to so-and-so, and until that's cleared, there is an attraction, sort of, so to speak, for that to reoccur. So clearing one's lineage is very important, but also on the plus side, when you're able to access your lineage and things in it, it can be a rich source of talents and gifts that haven't been tapped yet. Now, how does this all come alive? And usually what happens in life, there are things that trigger the memories. And it could be a word, it can be a reading a book, it can be meeting a certain person, it can be a workshop. There is something in life that usually lights up the cellular memory in some way. So looking at one's lineage, and also looking at one's past lives, is a rich source of not only clearing things that may be blocking you, but also things that gifts and talents that can be accessed.
You know, that's very interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, both these cases and you know, historically, in the 27 years that I've been in the genealogy field, you know, so many of the people that get obsessed get obsessed usually at a later point in life. And interestingly enough, both of these clients, you know, have known, well, one had known it all their lives. The another one was 35 when he first heard some inkling that something had happened. Mm-hmm. And he's 66, where he is now feeling that urge to... And he actually said to me, he says, you know, I just need to know. I need to know. There's some anger. There's some parts of me that, you know, I seem to own. And I really don't like some of the behavior that I seem to exhibit. And he says, you know, I'm used to it, and I'm not really sure how I want to deal with that. But, you know, at this age, he says, I really just need to find some answers. And I thought that was a very, very interesting comment, because,
well,
you know,
it's an comment
with a mother that commits suicide, and possibly, you know, with two older siblings that had very strange infant deaths. You know, that's a hard bullet to swallow.
Yes, it is. And obviously, he's carrying some of that story with him. And two siblings deciding to leave at birth, not wanting to go forward with their lives, very much like Mother did. And I'm sure in his life or his offspring, there may be instances where there's been melancholy and this strong sense that the person might want to leave, and the anger, what could that anger be about? Could be Mother's anger about life and being here. So doing a clearing, doing a lineage clearing, and some work around that might be able to lift that out of the cellular memory, so that this person can go forward in life and feel peaceful. And you don't necessarily have to resolve why someone's angry. You know, there's a lot of talk therapy is a great in the sense that it may help you understand the picture, but it doesn't necessarily resolve remove the feeling. And you just sometimes learn to cope with it. And I'm sure he's learned, as he said, I've learned to cope with it. But somehow there's this gnawing feeling that I really don't have to go, do I have to go through life with this underlining feeling of anger and probably grief confusion about what happened, you know. Why did this happen to me? You can simply help that person release it from the cellular memory so that that person can find peace.
And, you know, and I've seen a change. I mean, we were able in a few short hours to actually bring some information that probably amazed me, when we were able to find it as quickly as we found it. Where we were able to really identify these, you know, two infants. I mean, there was not even a knowledge that they existed, but mm-hmm. not only that you know, we were able to give them names, we were able to give them, you know, death dates, we were able to find burials, and I mean, so, you know, we were able in some way, shape, or form, although, you know, he was a small infant himself, you know, to bring some closure, I guess, as you would any type of memorial service or funeral or anything where you have something physical by which to do some closures. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think you're going to find, Susan, with your work, that more and more when people are able to access their ancestry and to tap into it, that it would bring automatically this kind of reconnection will automatically bring some sense of peace to the person. Many of us are kind of like lost tribes and longing to connect. And I think you'll find down the line as you begin to do your work where you're connecting spirit and genealogy, that this is the case. And for this man, he was able to reconnect to his lost siblings, and I think that had a powerful impact on him.
And, you know, it's also interesting, too, because, you know, you can tie some of this into adoption as well. You know, you and I have talked, and, I mean, my family history includes not only a mother who is adopted, but a brother who is adopted. Mm-hmm. And I seem to be collecting those as well. It's all been very interesting these last few months. So, you know, and going back, I want to make one other note on the suicide thing, because I think it's also very important. You know, there are times in our family histories where truths are not always told. And in a particular instance with my maternal grandmother, my grandmother went to her grave thinking that her father had committed suicide. Mm. And that is what she was told, and that is what the was passed down to my mother and to my siblings and myself. And when I started doing the research, you know, and I was able to track his burial, and I was able then to track back to the fact that the body was being removed from Minneapolis, right there in the Minneapolis newspaper, there was an article about him dying of natural causes. So, you know, we have, you know, situations where our stories are not always conveyed to us in a very accurate way, but we carry those with us too.
Yes, we do. And however, if in fact your grandfather did not die he did not commit suicide, there would not be a yearning in his lineage for that situation to repeat itself. And I think that on some level, and I say on a cellular level, the inaccuracy of the story created a yearning to find the truth, and rather than correct a situation of suicide. So the yearning to find the truth propelled you to find it. And so it will clear things for everyone, you know, on that level. So even though there was a story of that, it doesn't necessarily run in the lineage that it would not create a situation, in other words, for someone in the family to be compelled to follow suit.
Well, I just want to create a reminder here that if you have any questions for Althea or myself, for that matter, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. Going on to the adoption theme, there are many people who have been adopted or came from adopted parents like myself. And, you know, while, you know, we know that we do not connect to them through our physical DNA, of course, there's still quite a connection of my mother and myself. Despite the fact, or my mother and her mother, even more so, despite the fact that she was adopted. So when doing research and even those who are out searching for their birth parents, it is a healing process, and not so much for making the connection and maybe visiting with them or anything, but just to know who they were and learn a little bit about their lives. In describing that, you mentioned to me earlier that this is what we call our spiritual DNA.
Well, when a soul decides to not use their birth parents sort of mentors to fulfill a particular karmic pattern or a soul destiny, sometimes a soul might come into this world with a story from their cellular memory, but the story, they may choose to decide to have the fulfillment of certain patterns through another soul group or another family. So, but always, even if that person is adopted, they will always have these longings. They will have inspirations. They will have memories that still tie them to their lineage, to their family of origin. So they may fulfill a certain purpose through an adopted family, but they still will have these memories from their family of origin.
Now, you know, all of us have some, you know, crazy blockages in our lives that, keep us from either being what we really think we should be, or, you know, certain patterns in our lives that, you know, just, you know, no matter what we do, they just seem to crop up and reappear and raise their, you know, nasty heads, as I say. And, you know, in some cases, you know, we don't always know where they come from. You know, and I notice over the years that, you know, I do it somehow seem to fall back into these crazy patterns, and I'll work my you-know-what off to get myself out of that pattern, only to find myself right back in there again. And, you know, we've talked about ownership of some of this stuff, you and I, to get, you know, independently. And, you know, in some cases, you know, we sometimes probably take on some patterns that really don't belong to us, but we may think they do. Or, I don't, how would you describe that?
Well, again, I'm going to bring it back to cellular memory.
Okay.
And if there have been traumas, if there have been patterns that have been pressing on a family through generations, that is going to press on you as well. So even though your consciousness, you're in this life, and you've been given all the opportunities for a wonderful education and so on, but you're still carrying feelings of poor self-worth and why am I not where I should be, and I have everything to be happy for, why am I always carrying the sadness? A lot of this is carried forward in your cellular memory. Now, recently, people who have, they have a lot of research now on with people who have had transplants, for example, and they're finding, interestingly, that people are developing food, taste for different foods, sometimes anxieties, all sorts of things that don't really belong to them. But when they find out more about the person whose organ they may be carrying, they find it belonged to that person. So there's a lot of research still to be uncovered about how much do we really carry forward? How are our lives imprinted into a cellular memory? How does that happen? So, you know, just through transplants, they're beginning to look at this. But those of us and you who are doing ancestry and me with doing lineage clearing and past life work, I can see unequivocally patterns that are just passed on over and over. And when I do clearings, I see people transform. So, you know, there's a lot to investigate and look at. And we're so fortunate to be here during this present time where there are techniques. There are a lot of people out there who are doing great work with lineage clearing and past life work to clear up stories that are interfering with the soul's own fulfillment in this life. So we're actually living at a very interesting time.
You know, and I, you know, I tend to agree because, you know, some of us, you know, think that over many, many years that we were following our life path only to find out that in one way, shape, or form that wasn't really the case. And then, you know, you get kind of stuck in some sort of a rut, you know, while you're waiting around, I guess, to figure out what this next, you know, pathway is supposed to be. You know, when working with ancestors, you know, we actually compress a lifetime into a very short little snippet of information that can, in some respects, you know, really give us a snapshot view of who this person was and how they were. And, you know, we have these long, long, long lives of which we, you know, every day is a new day. And, you know, when we get into researching our ancestors, you know, we dig up enough information to get a very compressed snapshot. But at the end of the day, we do get a feel for who they are. and how they lived and what they, you know, how they lived their lives, and in some cases why they did some of the things that they do. And I'm just sitting here listening to you and saying, you know, this is really kind of an interesting journey, because, you know, going back to some of the thing that Jude Curvin talks about in her book Cosmos, and, you know, of course, you know, Albert Einstein too, and, you know, his theory of time, you know, it's really kind of bizarre if you think about it.
It is, and the thing is that we are connected to everything that was, that is, and that will be. And it's all kind of happening at once in our own being. And the beauty of being here at this present time, that there's just so much available to people to be in. I like what Joseph Campbell calls, you know, being in your bliss, discovering why we're here and who we are. Most of it, you know, it's more about being really alive, you know, being in this wonderful, loving place with ourselves and with the world and the people in it, and to give our journey in life a deep meaning and a kind of way to tap all of these extraordinary potentials within ourselves. So the beauty of lineage work and ancestry, it kind of gives us the way to tap into our sense of being kind of everlasting beings, you know, that we did come from some place, and that we kind of never die, and that we're always a part of everything. And I think I find that extraordinarily beautiful.
It really is. And too, and I think in some of the, you know, different ethnic research, you know, where, you know, there have been some horrific situations that occurred, and where, you know, people have not been able to be remembered because they have not been able to be found, so to speak, by their descendants. You know, that there's an incredible amount of healing that comes from, you know, identifying and connecting someone who was really, you know, for a particular period of time when the horrific actions occurred, were really kind of lost in space, so to speak. You know, they're, you know, if you go back into, you know, some of the Holocaust and other ethnic cleansing, you know, things that happened in these times, that, you know, the people were in mass graves, and records are non-existent, or if they're there, they're tied up in some, you know, place where it's been very hard to get those records to even to try to begin to identify. You know, there have been generations of, you know, lost in space, so to speak, you know, because there was none of the stories, and, you know, were brought down. There was a generation of immigrants that came over here and I just got another client yesterday. I mean, she knows nothing. I mean, it was like her mother didn't talk, you know?
Well, she didn't talk. The thing is, those stories are still alive within the person. I remember I spent a month with Thich Nhat Hanh and did a Vipassana training with him. And he gave a beautiful story that should be a kind of a blessing to all who's listening to this. He was exiled from his country. And for years he mourned. He mourned the loss of his country, his monastery, his family. And then one day he realized that he hadn't lost them, that they were in his bones, and that he who he is, down to his cellular level, is always with him, that he hadn't really lost anything, that they were present with him, his country, his family, his monastery was always a part of him. And so for people who have seem to have lost their family of origin, that they're really always with them, because on a cellular level they are them, and that should be remembered. Also, I might have brought this up in a previous show of yours about a client I had once who came in who really looked like someone had beaten her. She looked very distressed. She couldn't relax. And she gave me some of her story that she wasn't able to work. She just had a lot of mental distress. And I took down her case study, and as I was reflecting on it that evening, somehow the Holocaust came up. And I thought, why am I picking this up? So when the next time she came in, I asked her, can you relate to the Holocaust? I mean, is there something that you could tell me about this? And she said, well, my grandparents died in the Holocaust. And at that moment, I realized that they were around her, and she wasn't feeling her own feelings. This was coming from this painful place with her grandparents, and they were looking for something to move on. So what I did, I got their names, and I lit, and it just happened that it was maybe a few weeks before Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. And what I did, I lit candles for them, the white candles, and I put their names there. I did the fasting for them, and then I went to two synagogues to break bread in the evening, and that person went back to normal. They were able to leave. So there's so many unexplained things in this life. But she no longer has that anxiety, and but she was feeling, she was tapped into them.
So, you know, in some respects, I mean, you know, when we're not feeling blissful, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know, there's something that's, you know, either within us or around us, mm-hmm. that is interfering with that. Because in all honesty, I mean, what we're trying to say is that, you know, we are supposed to be at peace. I mean, you know, we are, you know, and, you know, we always say that, you know, we have peace in death, but, you know, why can't we have peace in life?
Well, as a yogi that I knew once said, he said that it's our birthright to be healthy, happy, and holy.
and holy doesn't mean having holes punched all over you, right?
Right, right. and so, you know, what's interfering with that? Why can't we be that? And as you can see from this discussion today, it's very complex. It's complex why we can't be happy and fulfilled in this life, but it's possible. And I think human beings at this point in time are really kind of getting that. And you will find people, business people, meditating, doing yoga. I've never seen so many yoga studios all over the world, by the way. Where people are really trying to tap in, they're trying to go within, and realizing that this trying to find peace. And I find for the first time, I mean, let's face it, looking at a past life, well, most Westerners, it's not part of their spiritual belief system to even accept that idea, and yet so many people are interested in that right now. And of course, Dr. Brian Weiss brought that out into the open, and people somehow, some way, they weren't in conflict with that, and they started to explore. And they're starting to look at their ancestors. They're tapping into anything that gives their life meaning. That's what it's about, giving your life meaning and taking yourself to this beautiful place where your life has vitality.
When you're doing research, for example, I mean, and you know, you bring this up. I mean, the genealogy sites throughout the world, and I mean, and I say with throughout the world because I do have one of my future guests is coming in from Israel with MyHeritage.com.
Yeah.
But you look at Ancestry.com and Footnote.com and the, you know, World Records, World Vital Records, and all of these you know, major sites, and MyHeritage, and then Genie.com, and then all of the other, you know, sites that are set up for helping people connect with their, you know, with people today. You have connecting, you know, I mean, you know, genealogy is really made up of multiple components, just as anything else is, but, you know, you number one, you know, you're trying to connect with the past, but you're also, you know, trying to connect with the present, because, you know, there's a lot of stories and things that can be shared, you know, laterally and cross-lineagely, I guess one would say, you know, that if you didn't connect with a cousin or a second cousin or a third cousin, you know, the stories that may have been passed down on one line were not passed down on yours. So, you know, genealogy is not just, you know, doing research of records. It's actually researching, you know, everybody and anybody that may have been connected at one point in time with this particular individual that you're trying to trace, to see, you know, what stories may have come down through their generations that may have missed yours. Because I've seen that happen so many times that it's almost mind-boggling. But, you know, you look at these sites and millions and millions and millions of people are going there on a daily basis, and so we know the interest is high.
I'm sure that it's going to increase because people are really longing to connect to their roots and to give their life deeper meaning. So they're looking at many, many ways to do this, and one way is to tap into your own to your own story. And who are you about? And where did I come from? And so people are investigating very seriously how do I give my life meaning? What am I about? And so Ancestry is playing an important part of that.
And not only that, but, you know, the people who seem to get the genealogy bug, and we've always called it that over these many years that I've been involved in the industry, is that once you get nipped, you know, it's you've got it for a lifetime. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, some of us would like to be clear to that bug too. I mean, it can become a obsessive compulsive behavior. I mean, everything that you do is centered around, you know, trying to find you know, a little bit more information about your family, and you know, on that side of the fence, you know, it is kind of funny. I mean, there's I guess a healthy way to do it and an unhealthy way to do it, but
well,
it is. It's a genealogy bug. It's that seems to permeate one once they get started.
Well, let's just kind of take apart maybe your situation and your work in life and why you have found it so important to devote so much of your life connecting people to their roots. You mentioned that your mother was adopted, and this feeling of being disconnected from your family of origin is a profound imprint. And the people I have worked with who have been adopted often sometimes have trouble even bonding with people because this loss is very profound. And this loss has been translated to you. and what you're spending your life doing is really connecting people to their source. Interestingly.
It is very interesting, because it has become a life's work, and I know no other compelling reason for why I've been doing this for so many years, other than, I guess, you know, for why you say it. It's for a breaking of patterns, mm-hmm. you know, that I've seen, you know, breaking of behaviors that I saw in my parents and my grandparents, a better understanding of self, which one obviously, starts to learn a little bit more about, in seeing and watching and being involved in watching, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, you know, get the bug, so to speak, and why, and what the compelling reasons are, there's no wonder that, you know, this has been, you know, my life-change path here of recent.
Yes, yes. And I also want to mention that when human beings feel, when I look at the world right now and the chaos and the feeling of perhaps it could be annihilation, either from natural disasters or from someone pressing the wrong button and annihilating the earth, when people feel that they're going to lose their stories or cease to be, or feel like there's going to be annihilation, I think that people tend naturally to start looking for their roots and their ancestries to give their life and existence deep meaning. So that, why am I here? You know, how did I get here? Who am I? All of these questions, people are seeking, and they're wanting to find solace before they leave this world, you know, before they leave this planet. And so I think that part of it is that people are wanting to spiritually grow and find more depth to their existence, but also this feeling to give their life credibility that it's here. You know, I have a purpose and a meaning for being here. And so I think that people are connecting deeply to their roots to find some of these answers. Yes.
Yeah, and I think too that finding your purpose. All kinds of events can come into play during the course of our lives that, you know, either take us off course or change our direction a little bit to what our life purpose may be. And we may find that we took a wrong turn, mm-hmm. or we may find that we moved on in a direction we weren't supposed to go. But you know, defining and determining what our purpose is on life, I think, is a very, very strong thing. And I think in today's world, because it is so much more. I mean, we have such a global community. We've got this internet and Facebook and Twitter, and I mean, you know, we're learning about people in ways that we've never learned about people before. Twitter is amazing, just in, you know, what you can pick up from an individual just by their tweets. Same with Facebook. I mean, it's, you know, email used to be our initial source through the internet of communicating. But, you know, you have all this volumes of tidbits of information and, you know, and a lot of which, you know, when you look at it, serves no immediate purpose that you can see. But in the essence, at the end of the day, it does have some interesting purpose in, you know, really learning more about different people and different life phases and different lifestyles and what they're doing, how they're thinking. It's pretty amazing stuff, in my opinion. A little overwhelming at some point, but very, very interesting stuff.
Well, I think that people are longing to connect and to feel and be and realize that they're a part of each other. And actually, through these mediums, people are learning that how similar they are, and that what makes one person clicks also makes another person click. So it's not only showing diversity, but it's also showing a similarity, and it's bringing people together on a really. It may seem like a mundane level, but it's a kind of sharing that people can't really accomplish because people are so spread out all over the world. But really, the governments may not be able to bring people together, but people are bringing people together. And so I think it serves a very interesting purpose and far more profound than we may imagine.
You know, I agree. I was a late bloomer getting into all this stuff, I think, back in November, December of last year, actually. But, you know, I sit back, and I can... I sit back, and every once in a while, you know, I'll go look at my tweet deck or whatever it is that I monitor all my tweets on, and I just am amazed at, you know, it's a circular motion, actually. It's a very, very interesting thing, and a lot of love, a lot of sharing, and a lot of caring that I see that's going on in the building of relationships in whatever we want to call this new wave of technology is, and genealogists have jumped on board faster than you can say Jackrabbity split, and you know, why not? I mean, you know, if it's a way to connect with you know, your past, and a way to connect with other people, a way to connect with people who are researching the same lines that you're researching. You know, that has been, you know, the spirit of the internet in genealogy as far as, you know, going back to the very beginning where I was involved, is the connecting of people. So really, we're just kind of going into a different connection phase, and not just in genealogists, but we're all involved in connecting people of all different types of industries and all different types of things. And,
It really is. It's an interesting, you know, they talk about 2012 and this whole global consciousness and bringing in, ushering in a kind of sweeter world to live in. And I really believe it will be through the people, the consciousness, and the extraordinary efforts that I see people putting forth right now to bring in a sweeter, a kinder, a more conscious universe. And through things that we think are, you know, through funny things like, I call it Tweety Bird, Twitter, and Facebook, and all of these mediums, people are connecting beautifully with one another. And they're sharing some things that we may think, oh, this is shallow. I had an ice cream today. Well, you know, that's wonderful. It, you know, there's that person still sharing. And so technology has its pluses. And I'm, you know, I'm a lot of people in my age group, you know, are complaining about it. But I find it extremely exciting. And I wish I had better tools. I'm still kind of green with all of it. But,
well, you know, and a lot of it is time. I mean, it can be very time consuming. You know, and following everything and everybody. But, you know, I agree. You know, finding out that somebody likes, you know, chocolate mint ice cream with bananas on top or whatever. You know, kind of interesting thing. It's part of that compression. I mean, you won't remember that that's what they like, but it's part of the compression process of understanding someone's life at the end of the day and being able to, you know, grab hold of who that person really might have been and who they were. And, which is really part of the whole genealogical process, in my opinion. Getting back to...
Yes.
The call. You know, you mentioned that, you know, the 2012 is around the corner, and that, you know, people seem to be becoming a little, you know, more caring, more sharing. While this has been taking place, I think, over a relatively long period of time within certain little phases, you know, in little groups, so to speak. I think that we're all looking for peace, and we're all looking for, you know, not only within our own lives, but within the lives of others. There's just so much anger and hate that, you know, stems from mistakes that, you know, not only we as individuals may have made during our lifetime, or our parents made during their lifetimes, or our ancestors made during their lifetimes. That at some point, if we can all just wake up one day and, you know, say, all right, you know, we made some mistakes have been made, you know, let's stop. Let's just stop. You know, the hatred and the violence and you know, all the things that we seem to, you know, see in our societies and throughout the world where there's, you know, where peace needs to be negotiated.
Well, just to say this, that, you know, what's happening with the cell, with these messages in cellular memory, is that a lot of history, if you look in history, many things are repeated over and over and over. And the urge to clear these stories out of the cellular memory, not of only of the individuals, but of this planet, all of those people out there who are doing this kind of work, is helping to allow people to bring them to this place of higher consciousness and awareness and peace. And as, you know, Joseph Campbell and William Henry, all of these wonderful mythologists, point out that no matter what philosophy that they go back to in time and history, the message is always to move out of a place of fear into a place of love. And so I think that, sometimes when we, you know, we can will and intellectually wish peace, but we have to kind of clear it out on these other more subtle levels and give the space.
Hold on. First time in 17 weeks they have made their voices heard. I guess they want to clear the air here.
I think they agree. They're saying right on.
I know. Clear the air. That is funny. They have been so quiet for so many weeks. I've been actually amazed. So I do apologize to our listeners. I do have two dogs, and I have been able to keep them fairly quiet through most of these shows over these many weeks. But I guess today is the day. Well, they probably may hear your voice.
Yes, they may recognize me.
Yes, that may be part of what we're going into here. In any event, let's summarize what we've been discussing today. I think that it has, a lot of things, Why don't you go for it?
Well, I think in summary, I want to say that there's some beautiful tools out there for people to find deeper and more profound ways to connect to their story and to find a way to, as Joseph Campbell, I love Joseph Campbell, to follow your bliss and to bring a more blissful universe and a peaceful world. And I know that so many people all over the globe, individually and as groups, are trying to bring this forward. And I want you to never give up and to keep pursuing and follow, you know,
dig those dreams.
Follow those dreams and tap into those untapped potentialities and find the sweetness and joy in life and make it your goal. Make it your goal to be happy.
Beautiful. And Althea, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, your website is www.peachbuddha.com, and I'm going to spell it PEACHBUDDA.com. And email address is Althea@peachbuddha.com as well. So, you know, if you're interested in doing some work with her, I will tell you that it is pretty astounding. I have. I've been blessed to be the recipient of some of her work, and I can honestly say that things are in movement very quickly, and it's a wonderful feeling. And, you know, I just would like everybody out there that is feeling a little blocked in some ways that you take a look, and if you can't put your finger on it, I'll tell you what, Althea will. In any event, my name is Susan King. I've been with you now 17 weeks. I look forward to being with you next week. This is where genealogy and spirit connect. My guest next week is going to be very exciting for those of you in the world of genealogy. His name is Alexander Biter, and he is probably one of the chief and the leaders in entomology for Eastern European and Russian surnames. So if you don't know where your name came from or cannot figure out the spelling of your name on a passenger list, this is the call to make. We're going to be doing some things differently on that call because Alex is basically a Russian-speaking, and while he does understand English, too much conversation can be a little challenging for him. So if you have any questions, go to www.susaneking.com, go to the forum, and there is a section on getting started about questions that we will be taking for Alexander on his visit with us next week. In any event, have a good day, be happy, as Althea says, and we'll see you next week.